You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM 750 AM and video streaming live at KOALITV.com. Now back to your host, Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM and also live at KOALITV.com and also on ETV 10. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Jordan Buscarini alongside Canyon Beecher. He's a debate Sterling scholar with Carbon High School. He's a senior, so he's going to be joining us along tonight as a guest host. And tonight it's the final series in our Meet the Candidates forum that we have had over the last month. And up today we have Senator David Hinkins and alongside Heidi Redd. They will be running in the general election on November 8th. For state senator. First off, I'd like to welcome you both. Thank you for coming here. We are live at Carbon High School. And first off, I want to give each of you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Remember, this is not a debate. This is an opportunity for the viewing, the listening, and the live audience to get to know the two candidates that will be running for state senator on November 8th. We had a coin toss before we went on air, and Ms. Redd won that. So at this point in time, Ms. Redd, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to introduce yourself and your platform.
I'm Heidi Redd from San Juan County. Thank you for coming, and thank you, KOL, for hosting this. Give us an opportunity to introduce ourselves. I've been a cattle rancher for 50 years in San Juan County, the largest ranches in the state, encompassing 350,000 acres, mostly federal lands. So I have dealt with not only federal agencies, state agencies, and local agencies, so I really know the agency business. I have been president of the San Juan Cattle Association, vice president of the State Cattle Association. I have worked with the BLM RAC for the state. I have worked with BWR RAC for the state. I am currently a member of the board of the Utah Natural History Museum in Utah, in Salt Lake. So I feel like I have worked with a lot of agencies and a lot of different organizations. In the ranching business, every year we cull the herd, and we get rid of most of our unproductive cattle or cattle that have been there too long and it's time to move on. And I have felt that sometimes in the legislature we let legislatures stay in too long and they lose some of their productiveness and vigor at the same time. But I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to introduce myself, and I will now turn this over to our moderator.
Mr. Hinkins, same format. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'm David Hinkins, and I reside in Barron, Utah at the time. I was born and raised in Orangeville, and I lived in East Carbon for a while out in Columbia when I worked at the Horse Canyon Coal Mine in from 1974 until 1976, which at that time I moved back to Orangeville where I was raised. I graduated from Emory High School. And I started a company called Industrial Electric Motor Service, which we service the coal mines and power plants. And I've been there now for 41 years that we've been in business. Well, 40 years going on 41. And so this was our 40th anniversary. And everybody said that business would be easier after the first 5 years. If you can stay in business for 5 years, it's going to get, you've got it made. And I can tell you the last 5 years have been my hardest years of my business with the war on coal and the war on the coal-fired power plants and our area. It's just been devastating to our area. We've lost a lot of, in the little town I live in Barron, I think there's 70 homes for sale at this time because of the loss of jobs. And I have my wife's name's Rulaine Hinkins, Rulaine Nielsen, and she was born and raised in Sunnyside, Utah. Her mother still resides there. And I have four children. One lives, they're all, three of them are married. One lives in Castledale. One lives in Huntington. And the other one lives in Orangeville. I live in Barron. And then I have a son that's still single and lives in Lakeshore up in Utah County, up by the Payson area. And I have 14 grandchildren. And I'm in this business to, I ran for the Senate because of, you know, the problems with businesses. And like Ms. Redd said, that regulations, or we're being regulated to death. I as well run cattle, a cattle operation, and we run on BLM as well as Forest Service, and we feel the regulations are very hard for us to try to stay in business. We're thankful for the public lands. We're very much appreciative of, and we couldn't stay in business if it wasn't for that, because in our area, the Carbon Emery area, there's not enough farm ground to sustain the size of herds that we have here in Utah, or in our area. And you couldn't make a living on it just off the if they're pasture and homes. And so we're very thankful for public lands, and it does is rewarding. I think the grazing on public lands is very grateful because we have a lot of forest fires, and we've had catastrophic forest fires, one in the Shoofly Canyon lately and also in Huntington Canyon just a few years ago, and it devastated our area. And a lot of us lack of grazing, I believe, that we could, and lack of timbering.
Your time is up.
I got a lot more. We've got a couple hours. So
we got plenty of time. We're good. We're good. We got plenty of time. Now, before we get rolling here, I want to remind everyone our sponsors for tonight are J&N Auto and USU Eastern. And again, we are joined by ETV10, and they will be replaying this on Channel 6 tomorrow. So now we have questions that have been emailed in. I'm going to start by asking each of you the same question. And again, Ms. Red was the coin toss winner, so she will go first. I will answer the odd, or I will ask the odd questions. And Canyon Beecher, the debate Sterling senior scholar here at Carbon, I will ask you guys the even questions. First off, Ms. Red, in detail, when elected, what project would you work on first for this particular area?
One of the biggest problems rural Utah has is that economic benefits stop at the Wasatch Front. I think that it's time that rural Utah started getting some notice and some help with economic development. In my county, we are the poorest county in the state, and we just need to see more of what goes on up north come down our way. I know that you are very lucky in Carbon County that you have Emory Telecom that has put in a high fiber network, so you could tap into jobs in Salt Lake and stay at home. We don't have that advantage further south. But I do think that it is very important that we start looking at rural Utah as not just the playground for northern Utah, but we are jobs, fair-paying jobs, and with benefits. And I think with the legislature, they know. I guess I was just talking to myself. Anyway, it's time that we stood up and threw our hat in the air and said, hey, we're down here. Pay attention to us.
Mr. Hinkins, I'll repeat the question for you. In detail, when elected, what project would you work on first for this area?
Okay, well, there's a lot of projects that we could get down here. One of the projects that I've been working on is to improve Highway 6. We would like to get a four-lane highway all the way from Salt Lake to Blanding and to at least to that area. We've also got Highway 191 that we'd like to get much improvement. So road is one of the bottlenecks, I believe, for economic development for our area. And also for the college down here. A lot of the people, when I served in the college on the Board of Trustees, one of the problems was the parents didn't want to send their children on Highway 6. That was a big issue. And I think the safer, and we've done a lot in the last few years, but not enough. But I think that would be one of my projects. Another project I've been working on is I had a group of people here from New Jersey and from Denmark today. I went and took them on a tour of the Hunter Power Plant. And one of the things they're looking at is to do hydro from the hydrogen power plants, which would produce, we could use the same facilities possibly as a coal-fired power plant, but rather than using the coal and burning it, we would actually take the hydrogen out of it to power the units. And so we're looking at that. We met with the Tavis out of the Hunter Power Plant today and had on a tour. So that's one of the things we'd like to do, to get cleaner air, but yet to still sustain using our coal fire or coal power, coal generation. But it would be in the form of hydrogen rather than being burned. And so There's a lot of projects. We're also doing a coal liquefaction plant for in Wellington. We've been working on air permits. We finally got those out through the DEQ, and we're looking forward to that, which would be a lot of jobs for our area. And so there's just a lot of things. We've got to keep our industries alive as much as possible that we have.
Fantastic. Okay. And again, Canyon Beecher is going to be asking the even question. So now I will turn the microphone over to him. Ms. Red, you will be up with the first question from Canyon Beecher.
Thank you, Senator David, for your answer. So this next question, Heidi, this is for you, Ms. Red. This question was sent to us by email, and it says, why do you want to put yourself in this position?
Well, I feel that to those of us who much has been given, we need to start giving back. And I am still sitting in the saddle, but I have more and more time now that my son is starting to take over. And I just feel that I do have a lot to offer and could be a voice for Southern Utah, a voice that is much needed. I feel with my experience running a business for 50 years that I could easily step in and understand the business of this state and do a good job at it.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Red. And I'll read the question again for you, Senator Hinkins. It says, why do you want to put yourself in this position?
Well, I've been in this position for 8 years now, and sometimes I ask myself the same question, why do I want to do that? And as I mentioned earlier, I've got 14 grandchildren that I would like to see be able to grow up in this area and be able to have jobs if they so choose. And I think that the only way it's going to do is people be active and try to keep jobs here. I mean, I don't really want to see this place grow very big. I mean, but I do want to see everyone's children have the opportunity to stay in our area. I mean, I don't want to be like Salt Lake City. I hope that this area does not turn into that. I get nervous even driving up there. And I love this. I love the rural Utah, but I would like to see jobs that our children could stay here. We export our children more than anything that we've got. We export a lot of coal, but we export a lot of children, and I would like to keep them here. I love having my grandchildren here, and I know that I have friends that have lately lost their grandchildren to other states. They've had to move to Wyoming and Montana and Colorado and Nevada. And I think this, we really need to keep them here so we can enjoy the fruits of our labor. And that's the reason I'm here. It's mainly because of my grandchildren, because I want to see my kids around. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Hinkins. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll take about a three-minute break, and when we return, we'll jump right back into the Meet the Candidates forum. Again, we are live at Carbon High School. We have Senator David Hinkins and also Ms. Heidi Red, who again will be running for state senator on November the 8th in the general election. We're going to pause again for about 3 minutes, and we'll return here on KOAL 1039 FM, 750 AM, and at KOALITV.com.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telcom today. Contact Emory Telcom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Damaging winds, severe thunderstorms, rain, flash flooding. When the weather comes down hard in eastern Utah, News Talk 103.9 FM at 750 AM KOAL is there for you. Accurate, up-to-date weather forecasts and information. When weather happens, count on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telcom today. Contact Emory Telcom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
Serving Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 1039 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Price.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at Jan Auto in Huntington. At Jan Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM, and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek. Welcome back to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM, and KOALITV.com. Also on ETV 10. Now, again, joining us today, we have Senator David Hinkins and also Heidi Redd, who will be running for state senator during the general election. During the first section, before we went to that last break, each candidate answered two questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is not a debate. This is an opportunity for the listeners, the viewing audience, and the live audience to get a feel for each candidate before they make their informed decision in the general election. And so we'll pick up right where we left off. In fact, this go around, Mr. Hinkins, you're going to answer the question first. This one was emailed in once again. It says, Utah seems to suffer a huge divide between the prosperity of the Wasatch Front and the St. George areas versus the extremely difficult economic situation found in central and eastern Utah. Carbon, Emory, Garfield, Kane, Grand, and San Juan counties continue to lose jobs and thus lose population, yet the Wasatch Front and St. George areas continue with overwhelming growth. What can you do as a state senator to shift some of the jobs to our area, which is in dire need of a new industrial base?
Okay, well, one of the big issues, I think, on the Wasatch Front is that they have a major airport, an international airport, which brings in a lot of businesses, a lot of people, these headquarters for the big companies like eBay and Adobe, and some of those, they have to have people going in and out of there a lot. And I think a lot of their upper management flies in and out of the Salt Lake area quite a bit, and I think that's one of the disadvantages we have. They're trying to upgrade the Moab airport right now. They've got federal funds that we've been able to get appropriated for down there through our federal agencies, and so that'll help that area a little bit with their commuter flights in and out of there. We also have the Price Airport that for some reason we just have not been able to get that up and going like it could be or should be. And a lot of us, because we've lost some of the industries here, that was a possibility of having that. But I think I really don't want to be the Wasatch Front. I want to make that clear. I'd like to see economic growth down here, but not to the extent that they have up there. I mean, they have a pollution problem, but yet they blame it on to our power plants, which is just not true. I mean, we have air studies, they have like these little apps that you can get on your cell phones that has all the counties if it's a red, green, or a yellow time of the year. Emory County doesn't even have an app. We've got the five large power units running over there. We don't even have our own app that our air is so good that we don't even have it. But yet in Salt Lake County, Weber County, Uinta County, a lot of the other counties have it. You can check that app to see what the ozones and all that sort of stuff is. And so I think the big thing that we got to do is get the Highway 6 to be a better highway to come and go, because we're getting a lot of tourists, and it's just not the community for us as commuters needing to go back and forth to Salt Lake to our doctors and to our see our children, grandchildren. A lot of people, that's where their grandchildren are at. And so, but we've also got the tourists that are competing with us for the passing lanes and the mileage there. And so we've got a lot of these tourists coming down to southern Utah that's not really doing Emory County a lot of good. Carbon County, they may fill up their cars, but usually the cars nowadays can drive clear to Moab without being fill-ups, and so a lot of them bypass Price. We really need to try to get it to where we can get them off here and take them into the Sandra Fell area for tourism to help do that, because Moab's getting overcrowded with tourists, and so I think
Mr. Hinkins, I got to cut you off.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to ask the same question to Ms. Roy. Would you like the question repeated? Okay.
No, I think going to some of the economic development seminars I've been going to, the main thing they stress is every community needs to decide, first of all, what do you want to be? What kind of industry do you want? Because if the citizens don't agree, then it just throws a kink in all of it. So first of all, finding out your infrastructures, what your community can support. Do you have the power? Do you have the water? For instance, San Juan County, everyone keeps saying what you should be a tourist community. Well, San Juan County, the cities of Monticello and Blanding have very limited water. So to support more motels would be very, very difficult. There's nothing that takes water more than a motel. Now, Moab, on the other hand, they have the river, they have plenty of water, so that is a good fit for them. Finding the fit that works for your community. Now, I look at Helper. Look at how Helper has found a fit for them. We do need help from northern Utah and the legislature, but we also are self-sufficient, strong people, and we need to look at what we can do that will bring us economic benefits. And I think we have the ability, we have, I mean, golly, you have a college here. Your young people can get their bachelor's degree without leaving home and all that expense. And it's the educated class, it's the educated community that will then draw in more sophisticated businesses. So I think we, if we just look within, we have a lot to offer, and we just need to get the legislature and people looking and recognizing that.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Red, for that. We're going to have you go with this next question, too. It reads, how would you handle those with opposing views?
Well, I think for any legislature, any person in the legislature, if they cannot sit down and rationally talk out differences between both sides of the aisle, if you become so wedded to your idea that you are not willing to listen to the other side, then I think it's a losing cause. You need to be able, and that's with any kind of like I'm on the BLM rack, and if I was just set that only my ideas would work without listening to both sides of the issue, then I think you've lost out right away. And I think it's very important that our legislature be even. Right now we, I feel it's unbalanced. I would not like to see 100% Democrats. I don't want to see 100% Republicans. I want balance. I want balance where we both have different views and we come to a consensus of how best to follow it.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Red. Would you like the question read again? Okay. So, Senator Hinkins, it says, how would you handle those with opposing views?
Okay, the best thing I found out was that in the legislature we've had tours, and I serve as the chairman of Natural Resource Committee, Appropriations Committee, as well as the Public Utilities and Technology. And the best thing that I've done is to be able to get my fellow legislators down here to go to tours of the mines, tours of the power plants. Come down, we, last summer we came down and went to Green River High School and see what happens in rural Utah and see that the power plants are clean burning power plants. We spend a lot of money as utility users upgrading these power plants to put bag houses to where the particulates coming out of the power plants are very, very minimal. We've also, a lot of the things that they make decisions on in the legislature is education. A lot of things that are applicable in Salt Lake City are not applicable down here, and they found that out real quick when they went to Green River and found out that the principal might be the coach of the basketball team, and he wears many hats, and they're not like up there where they have an assistant for every counselor and I mean, we're just shorthanded. And so once they had their eyes open to the way that rural Utah is completely different than the Wasatch Front, I think just to, for them to see that, and a lot of them are very envious of us, by the way, down here, the way we have our lifestyle, wide open spaces, and we love it. And I think that's helped them realize to come down and recreate in Utah. Not, they don't have to fly to Mexico, or they don't have to go somewhere else to California to have a good time. There's their backyard, which is our area, is great to come and recreate, and we love to have them here and bring plenty of money.
Fantastic. Thank you. Again, I want to remind everyone of our sponsors for tonight, J&N Auto, USU Eastern, and again, we are joined by ETB 10, and they'll be replaying this on Channel 6 tomorrow, and you can also watch the archive version of this at KOALITB.com. With that being said, we got another question for you, and just a reminder to everyone, these questions were emailed in over the last couple of weeks in preparation for tonight, and here's another emailed question. We'll start with you, Senator Hinkins. Many Forest Service ranges are locked during the early spring of the year, such as Farron Mountain and areas between Joes Valley and Miller Flats, often not opening until the last week of the bear hunt. With bear numbers on the rise in these areas, local county officials have tried working with the Forest Service with no progress made. How will you help to accomplish a solution between the federal government and the county?
Okay, well, the big reason before that is because in the springtime there's a lot of runoff, and the roads are very susceptible to rutting from four-wheel drives going up these roads and tearing up the roads. And so that's a legitimate thing. And but at the time, the animals are also shedding their horns, and it's really advantageous for these young men and stuff to get up there and to be able to gather these horns up because they're very profitable. There's a little bit of money in it, and it's fun recreation. It's good exercise. And the Forest Service has had a real hard, they're way behind, $168 billion behind on maintenance of the Forest Services and the parks and everything else that they have. They've got a lot more than they can manage. And so they don't have the road graders and the gravel trucks that they can fix these roads up like they should be. And so that's an issue. And I think that we just need to monitor. Every year will be different. Some years it might be dry in April, some years in May. And their county sheriff, Sheriff Funk, has been made aware of it, and they have locked the gates. We've tried to maybe they need to raise the gates a little higher so people can go up and get into those areas and stuff. But it's a problem, but we all like to have good roads, and sometimes that's been the issue, is to tear up the roads and stuff like that. So I don't know. We just got to try to work together on it, and I don't know. The state has a lot of leverage on it because it is the Forest Service, and they're the ones that should be doing the road, but they're also county roads, and they should be maintained and left open as much as possible.
Ms. Red, would you like the question read once again?
I agree with Senator Hinkins that is a problem in the spring, and it's very costly to have to go up and repair roads that have been on too early when it's wet and it's extremely rutted. I see this all the time. Our county spends thousands of dollars trying to maintain these roads, and if hunters get up there and then a rainstorm or something happens and they decide all of a sudden they have to get out of there, then that road that may have just taken thousands of dollars to get up to par is rutted and ruined, and everyone's calling for them to go back and redo the road. So there is really a reason not to allow vehicles too early in the spring on these roads. And I think the bear hunters are just going to have to bear with it and wait until the roads are ready for them to be on. Otherwise, it's going to cost us more and more money.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Red. We're going to have you for the next question, too. It says, what have you done in your life to prepare yourself for this position?
Well, I've graduated from Utah State University in the 60s, so that was a while ago. But I think being a business person, having run a business for 50 years, knowing the challenges of being economically diverse. You know, my father-in-law always said, never put all your eggs in one basket. you need to be diversified, because when the cattle market crashes, you're still going to have the bills coming in. So I've always tried to have a diverse economy in my ranching so that I wasn't just wholly depending on cattle. I've been in the film business, where I've had several films, major films, filmed on the ranch. I've been in, had commercials shot on the ranch, and all this brings in additional income as well as hunting. So I think, you know, to be diversified and to run a business, both David and I have run businesses. We know what it takes and what the bottom line is at the end of the year.
Thank you, Ms. Redd. Senator Hinkins, would you like the question?
No, I'm fine with that. You know, I wondered what I had to prepare, but, you know, I think the advantage of a part-time legislature in Utah is that the diversity. And everybody, I mean, there's one of our senators that I sit next to is Dr. Shiazawa, who was our ER doctor here in Carbon County for a long time. Margaret Dayton, who her husband was our doctor here in Price, that delivered all four of my children, probably half the children in Carbon County that's in that age bracket. And they're from all walks of life. I mean, there's a guy that has a nursery up there that raises plants and stuff. And I think the diversity is the thing that's great about Utah, that we're a part-time legislature, that we're not full-time. We're there for 45 days in January, the last of January, February, and March. And we all have different points of view. We're all different people, and we come from different backgrounds. I've been involved in mining, agriculture, natural resources, electrical. I'm an electrician by trade. I graduated from Utah Technical College in Provo, and I've worked in the mine at the Horse Canyon Mine for U.S. Steel, and then I've been an independent businessman for the last 40 years. But that's what's great about it, is that we're able to bring different ideas, and when we start trying to run a bill that may be stupid, but it's not to us, it's not, but you get other people there that says, you know, that's really going to impact the insurance business. There's people from every walks of life, and it's really nice to have people there that can debate it. And that's what's great about our form of government, is that we're able to all come together. Like Ms. Redd said, we all have disagreements, but we all have the same goal at the end. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or whatever you are, we want life better for our children and our grandchildren. And we, you know, I think that's our ultimate goals.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. While we have a moment, again, I want to mention one of our sponsors tonight, USU Eastern, Utah State University Eastern. Do not forget that it is Spirit Week at USU Eastern. It's the biggest non-basketball athletic week of the year for the school. We'll get our first rodeo in over 23 years with the school this weekend. We'll also get volleyball and some soccer as well, so make sure you get out and support USU Eastern during Spirit Week. We're going to jump back into the questions, and I believe Mr. Hinkins will be first up for this go-around. The question is, the Medical Cannabis Act was introduced this last general session. Is this good or bad for the state?
Well, it's good and bad. Actually, if it's recreational, I've talked to some of our sheriffs, especially in Grand County, and Sheriff White and Sheriff Eldridge in San Juan County and Grand County, that there's an overflow from Colorado coming in that's a problem with the recreational marijuana. But we do have the cannabis oils that we passed 2 years ago, 3 years ago. This is great for children. Some of them have epilepsy that's been having seizures, and it's been very good for those particular instances. And medical marijuana, if this doesn't turn into a recreational marijuana like it has in California, I could be supportive of that. I supported the bill. I voted for it, in favor of it. But there's Senate, one of the bills was where they take out the stuff that gets them high or whatever, and I think that the other stuff, like the oils and stuff that are beneficial, I'm improved with that. But I think we passed a bill last year that does more study, and so before I could really say I'm supportive of it 100%, we need to do more research, and our government needs to have it so that we can do that, so do more, trials and tests on it, because it's not FDA approved or anything like that. It basically just open market right now the way it is in Colorado, as well as the West Coast of California, Oregon, and Washington.
Ms. Redd, same question. Medical Cannabis Act was introduced this last general session. Good or bad for the state of Utah?
we've been very lucky that Colorado started out on this trail before we even started to think about it. And so they are hitting the bumps and the ruts and trying to figure out recreationally what laws, from driving to especially there's a problem with edibles. And so I think that being cautious and taking it one step at a time, I mean, cannabis oil and starting out with that. I know our governor has a grandchild that is helped by cannabis oils. And but I think as we go along, if we find that more medical marijuana would be useful to our populace, I would vote for it. But I do think, like Senator Hinkins has suggested, that it isn't something that you just rapidly jump into and make decisions. And I think recreational especially is a road that we should really be cautious about.
Thank you. With that, we do need to pause for another commercial break. We're about just a little over halfway through with this first hour. Again, you were listening to Meet the Candidates 2016. We have Senator David Hinkins and Heidi Redd joining us, and we will return here on 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and KOALITV.com.
It's Spirit Week at USU Eastern, and your Eagles are taking the field and court in soccer, volleyball, and rodeo this Friday and Saturday. Women's soccer will begin Friday at 2 p.m., and the men's squad will follow shortly after at 4:30. Both are free. Volleyball will begin at 7 p.m. on Friday, and tickets will be available at the door of the BDAC. And after 20 years, USU Eastern Rodeo will return Friday and Saturday at the fairgrounds. For more information, visit usueasternathletics.com. Come out and support our USU Eastern Eagles.
On Friday, October 7th at 10 a.m., 103.9 FM will sign off forever. That's right, it will no longer exist. Done, gone, kaput, adios. And just become dead space on the FM band. From that day forward, 103.9 FM will be a thing of the past. Tune in to hear this historic broadcast on 103.9 FM at 10 a.m. on Friday, October 7th, as it signs off forever.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telcom today. Contact Emory Telcom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Rush Limbaugh. I make the mistake of assuming that everybody listens to this show every day and thus is able to understand the context of things that I say. News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Rush Limbaugh. The Ditto Head Nation knows that in Eastern Utah, they can hear the Rush Limbaugh Show weekdays from 10 to 1 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
At Jan Auto, we aren't looking for a quick sale. We want lifelong customers. That means being a dealership you can trust. This is Jesse at Jan Auto. At Jan Auto, we won't cut corners to try to sell you a car you do not want. Your satisfaction is our number one priority. Quality you can rely on. Service you can trust. That's Jan Auto.
Armed American Radio on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Host Mark Walters talks about current events and everything that matters, from our right to bear arms as the enemies of freedom battle us daily. Defend yourself with knowledge, education, and training. Armed American Radio, Sunday night from 6 to 9 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
It's Spirit Week at USU Eastern, and your Eagles are taking the field and court in soccer, volleyball, and rodeo this Friday and Saturday. Women's soccer will begin Friday at 2 p.m., and the men's squad will follow shortly after at 4:30. Both are free. Volleyball will begin at 7 p.m. on Friday, and tickets will be available at the door of the BDAC. And after 20 years, USU Eastern Rodeo will return Friday and Saturday at the fairgrounds. For more information, visit usueasternathletics.com. Come out and support our USU Eastern Eagles. You are listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and at KOALITV.com.
Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
7:50 a.m. and also on KOALITV.com. And we are also on ETV 10, and they will be replaying this tomorrow on Channel 6 as well. I'm Jordan Buscarini. I do have Canyon Beecher with me. Now, Canyon is going to be joining in here to also ask questions to both Senator David Hinkins and also Ms. Heidi Redd. Canyon Beecher is a debate schooling scholar here at Carbon High School. And with that, Canyon, you go ahead and ask the next question. It will go to Ms. Heidi Redd first.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Redd, this question says, how do you work with others?
Well, believe me, I've worked with cowboys now for 50 years. And the one thing I noticed that I said, I work with cowboys. The cowboys, I feel like we work together. We are not, I don't try to lord over the boss. It is a matter of working together. And you get much more done when you work together and you listen to what their ideas are as well as your own. If you're only spouting your own ideas and walking that line, then you're missing out on a lot of knowledge. And so I feel that working with other people and listening to what they have to say and their ideas is so much. You know, if you're talking all the time, you're not hearing and you're not learning. So it is very important to listen, because you'll learn far more from listening than from talking. So I'm going to be quiet now and let David take
it. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Redd. Now, David, your question is, how do you work with others?
Okay. Well, I've been in business with my two brothers, there's three of us that's been in business now for 40 years, so I think we've worked pretty well. We give and take a lot, and it's just like a marriage. I've been married 42 years, and it's a lot of give and take, but I feel that I work well with others. I've been involved in a lot of businesses, partners in a lot of businesses, and it seems like when they're profitable, so you get along a lot better than when they're not profitable, but... I don't know. I love people. I really do like people. I enjoy them. I enjoy being around them, some of them more than others. But, you know, everybody's got good qualities. And I think if you look at the good qualities in people rather than any bad qualities, I think you can get along with about anybody. And I feel that I love people, and I just love animals, too. I mean, if you can love animals and animals can love you, I think people can love you as well. And so we're all kind of go back to that nature part anyway. So that's about it.
Thank you. We're going to continue on. This question will start with Senator David Hinkins. And again, for those just tuning in over the radio or at KOALITV.com, we are with Utah State Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Redd. I do want to remind everyone that this is not a debate. This is just an opportunity for you to get to know the candidates so you can make an informed decision with the general election. Question, Senator Hinkins, at least for the foreseeable future, coal and oil production will continue to see decreasing popularity. What options do you anticipate will we have during that time?
Well, you're right. I mean, I'm not sure why, because everybody uses power. Everybody has lights in their homes. Everybody has fuel in their cars. And I think once they wake up and this stuff isn't available, or their power rates are so high from the other alternatives for power, that they'll be looking at 30 cents a kilowatt hour versus 7 or 8 cents a kilowatt hour. And it's little, sometimes too little too late once you shut down these mines and they find out that it's not as affordable with all these. When they stop doing a lot of the subsidies, right now 2% of the power is generated by wind and solar. But yet they receive 74% of all the subsidies. And it's not just from the federal government, but also as ratepayers that we pay for our power. A certain portion of that goes into renewables. And so I think that it'll be too little too late. Germany went through the same thing that they've gone through with the renewable power, and that in the last 4 or 5 years they've built 13 new coal-fired power plants. And power plants, coal-fired, is the way to, it's clean burning, it's controlled, you can take all the particulates out of it, but when you have to, one of the things that, We just need to educate the public more and before they have to educate themselves by high power bills. I also would like to see this coal to liquefaction plants that we're looking at to come into Carbon County. And as I mentioned earlier, hydrogen power is a really a way to go too. California, Toyota's invested a lot of money into hydrogen. And all of our hydrogen, by the way, is coming out of Canada right now. But a lot of the vehicles is clean burning. And I think you're going to see a lot more push towards hydrogen. And but that hydrogen, a byproduct of coal, is hydrogen. And so we're pushing for that as well.
Ms. Red, I'll repeat the question for you. At least for the foreseeable future, coal and oil production will continue to see decrease in popularity. What options do you anticipate we will have in that time frame?
You know, 40% of the power in the United States right now is coal. So we aren't going to switch this coal off immediately. So now is the time to start thinking about when that is switched off, where are we going, what are we going to be doing. In San Juan County and Grand County, 25, 30 years ago, uranium, San Juan County was the wealthiest county in the state, had more millionaires per capita than any other county. That was all due to uranium. And so when uranium left, it left a huge, huge gap that has never really been, we haven't really caught up. So if you start now taking some of those eggs out of the coal basket and start a new hatch on some other ways of making a living here. Now, Helper has done it with their art community. You have a university. You have so many assets here already. If you were to start right now thinking of ways you can change your economy, and there's lots of ways, but it won't come overnight, and it won't be easy because the coal mining jobs have been very good to price, to Carbon and Emery County, very good money. And when that money dries up, it hurts everyone in the community, from the restaurant owner to the guy that sells the car or the tires. And it's hard. It's hard for everyone to hang on and to say there is light at the end of the tunnel. But I think it's now that you need to start thinking about what your future can be without coal.
All right. Thank you for that, Ms. Red. We're going to go again with you for this question. It says, many rumors are circulating out there with regards to the future of the two remaining coal-fired power plants in our area. Would it not be in the best interest of the community to see a statement from PacifiCorp stating what their plans are for the remaining coal-fired plants?
I know that Rocky Mountain Power is investing $1 million a year in the coal industry to try to clean up the coal to the point that it can continue being used in power plants. And that's helpful. And I think that there's also this new idea of carbon fiber that can be made out of real fine coal fines. And so there are other ways you can keep the coal mines going and keep that industry here, but it is not going to be the industry I think that you knew in the past. I don't think it's going to be the jobs or the money. And so I'm not saying that they're going to go away completely, but I think it behooves everyone to start thinking about other industries.
Thank you, Ms. Red. Senator Hinkins, so the question is, with the many rumors circulating about the two coal-fired power plants here, do you think PacifiCorp should release a statement about what their plans are for these remaining power plants?
Yes, and I believe Ms. Crane, Cindy Crane, who's the president and CEO of Rocky Mountain Power, she's been down to a lot of our meetings, especially the Chamber of Commerce, and basically assured us, I mean, they end up closing the Deer Creek mine, which has been a big devastation to Emery County, to because we got a lot of some revenue off of that from the tax base and the royalties off of it. But she's made a statement that they're doing all they can to keep these power plants viable and open. They're not on their list of closures right now. The ones that are on the list is the Kemmer plants and possibly one of the units in the Bridger in Wyoming. But right now, the Hunter and Hunter power plant are not scheduled to be shut down anytime soon. In fact, as Ms. Red said, they are looking at an investment into different types of technology to keep the plants as clean as possible and to put other forms of particulates to take the we're looking at a grant right now, but I just wrote a letter of recommendation for the Hunter Power Plant for Utah State that will get some money for carbon sequestration. And so that would be a big boon if that was able to do that, to keep the Hunter Power Plant open as well as the Huntington. If that works, it's a trial. It's a federal grant that's came out that we're hoping that we'll be the recipient of the Hunter Power Plant rather than some other state and another power plant in another state. So we're really pushing for that. Lauren Huntsman, who's general manager out there, is working very hard at this, and we wish him the best of luck. It means a lot to our area to be able to keep these things open and viable.
Thank you. We're coming up close to the end of our first hour. I want to get one more question in for each of you before we take a pause for station identification. In the meantime, one of our sponsors tonight, JN Auto. I know this is where we're live, actually, at Carbon High School, so there's a lot of parents of seniors who will be going away for college. Stop at JN Auto and make sure you get your child a really dependable car. One of the cars I have listed in front of me is a 2015 Ford Fusion with about 36,000 miles on it. That'll get your kids about 33 miles to the gallon on the highway. So make sure you stop into JN Auto and take a look at their great selection. Again, these questions were emailed to us, and we'll start with Senator Hinkins with this next one. What do you think of the Obama administration's attempts to require school districts to allow transgender students to use whatever bathroom they wish? You believe that this places non-transgender students in danger?
Well, I wasn't expecting this one, but I don't know. I'm like taken back that people, really makes that big a difference as far as when you're born and you go to the right place. I don't know. It's just something we talked about a little bit in the legislature, and I think it's wrong for the federal government to do that. I think, but they've also, you go to the airport, there's family restaurant rooms, and I don't know why they can't pick one of those. If we could actually put, like in the schools, one that's a family restroom or something that he or she can go in there at their own will and lock the door or do whatever they do, and then have a male and female just like they do now, and you can't be selective of it. You go to the ones that you're born to, and the other one you go to the one that you can't decide what you want to be in. So that would be a separate, like a family restroom, where they could just go a single stall, or whatever you call it. So that's my take on it. I don't know.
Ms. Red, same question.
I'm sorry, but we have so many problems in this world. We spend a lot of time on this and a lot of effort. Seems fruitless to me. Whatever. I would rather us just go down the road of whatever the bathroom situation that the government says that we need to do, let's do it. Let's not go through a long fight and waste a lot of money and time. There will be probably one school in the entire state of Utah that will face this problem. So I don't see spending time wringing our hands about it.
Thank you. We are coming up on 6 o'clock, so we will pause for station identification. It's Meet the Candidates on KOAL 1039 FM, 750 AM Price, Utah. And we are also live at KOALITV.com and also on ETV 10. We'll pause for just a moment. We'll be back with Utah State Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Reddit.
It's Spirit Week at USU Eastern, and your Eagles are taking the field and court in soccer, volleyball, and rodeo this Friday and Saturday. Women's soccer will begin Friday at 2 p.m., and the men's squad will follow shortly after at 4:30. Both are free. Volleyball will begin at 7 p.m. on Friday, and tickets will be available at the door of the BDAC. And after 20 years, USU Eastern Rodeo will return Friday and Saturday at the fairgrounds. For more information, visit USUEasternAthletics.com. Come out and support our USU Eastern Eagles.
Save time, money, and shop locally with the KOAL Bargain Bin. Bargain Bin offers discount prices on gift certificates to local businesses like restaurants, movies, salons, oil changes, and more.
I think I'm going to go shopping.
Go to KOALBargainBin.com and listen to Bargain Bin weekday mornings at 8:45 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at J&N Auto in Huntington. At J&N Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
Damaging winds, severe thunderstorms, rain, flash flooding. When the weather comes down hard in eastern Utah, News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL is there for you. Accurate, up-to-date weather forecasts and information. When weather happens, count on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telcom today. Contact Emory Telcom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
On Friday, October 7th at 10 a.m., 103.9 FM will sign off forever. That's right. It will no longer exist. Done. Gone. Kaput. Adios. And just become dead space on the FM band. From that day forward, 103.9 FM will be a thing of the past. Tune in to hear this historic broadcast on 103.9 FM at 10 a.m. on Friday, October 7th as it signs off forever.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM 750 AM and video streaming live at KOALITV.com. Now back to your host, Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Meet the Candidates 2016, our final forum in this series. And today we are spending time with Utah State Senator David Hinkins and his challenger Heidi Redd here on KOAL 103.9 FM 750 AM. KOALITV.com, and also we are joined by ETV10, and again, they'll be replaying this on Channel 6 tomorrow. Our sponsors for tonight, J&N Auto and USU Eastern as well. So we've made it through hour number one. I think that Senator Hinkins and Ms. Redd are set to go for hour number two. Okay. Let's pick up right where we left off. Blue, and this will actually be for Ms. Redd. You'll be starting this hour. The Blue Castle development west of Green River is moving through the state permitting process. What is your stand on this power plant and its progression?
Well, I know that they have passed the first hurdle with the water. Now it is up to Blue Castle to find the funding to move on. And that's going to be a huge hurdle, whether they'll find that funding or not. It'll be the first power plant that has been, if it goes through all the hurdles, that will go online, that's had a permit from the Nuclear Regulatory since 1979. So it will be an amazing thing if we get a new nuclear power plant. Right now, it just seems like in the midst of coal and that power plant, of course, it's cleaner, but it will be interesting to see if they can come up with the funding to complete the project. That is the hurdle that I see a big problem.
Mr. Hinkins, it'll be the same question to you. Again, the Blue Castle development west of Green River is moving through that state permitting process. What is your stand on this power plant and its progression?
Okay, well, the number one thing is funding, like she said, but the main thing is getting the customer base. And I think with the coal-fired power plants that are being closed and that will be closed within the next several years, especially along the bigger rivers, along the Mississippi, and because a lot of them are there, there's a lot of nuclear power plants running there. 20% of our power in the United States is powered by nuclear. Also, so we have the ships and submarines in the naval fleet that's nuclear-powered. And one of the things that we've got, it's a big win for San Juan County as well as Garfield County, because the water rights that we're going to be using is water that was appropriated for the coal-fired power plants in that area when the Grand Staircase came in and closed that the mines down there. That pretty well shut down the coal-fired power plants that were going to be built on the Kaparowitz Plateau. And so that water, we need to utilize it, and this is a great way to, for Utah to keep their water rights, to be able to keep them secured, to a 75-year lease. And right now, I think it's an $8,000 a year that they'll lease it from San Juan County, but if it goes in, once the power plant in, it will be I might be wrong on this, but it's $800,000 a year, I think, that they will get for the lease on their water. And so it's a big windfall for San Juan County, you know, because they have needs. And the nuclear power is, you know, clean burning. I mean, I've been able to go back to Chattanooga. Like I said, I'm the chairman of the interim chairman of transport of public utilities as well as technology, and I've had a chance to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and see the power plants there, and there are two of them being built there right now. So,
all right, thank you very much, Senator Hinkins. We're going to go again with you for this next question to start. It says, what can you as state senator do to end the Obama administration's moratorium against new coal leases on BLM lands?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a tragic thing that's happened just in this last week. The Green Hollow lease, which was already been approved in Sevier County and Sanpete County for the Supco mine, which is 6,200 acres, has already been approved. And there's 55.6 million tons of coal of reserves that was going to be mined, and they just suspended that lease just this last week, and it's devastating. The next thing, they're talking about the Alton coal field, which isn't an impact to this particular area, but it is to Utah and it is to the IPP power plant, is an Alton coal field. They're also going to talk about rescinding their lease, and as well as the Skyline mine, which has already been approved. And they're talking about maybe even suspending that. The Lila Canyon lease, the mine that we have out of the Murray Energy in Lila Canyon, that lease is also up for suspension as well. And so it could be devastating to Utah's economy for their power. Where are we going to get our power if they shut down these leases? I think the Supco mine has 3 years without this lease of production. And so we've got our congressmen and our states, our federal U.S. senators. This is very unfair to have a sage grouse that wasn't listed, other than in Gunnison, San Juan County, where the Gunnison sage grouse has been listed as an endangered species. But the greater basin grouse have not been listed, but they're making us live by that criterion. So the sage grouse is a big holdup on this Green Hollow lease, and it's to our peril as ratepayers in Utah. If this, and I'm not sure how we're going to fight it, but we're going to fight it, and I'm voting for Trump because of it, because I think that would break the suspension that we're in for.
Thank you very much. And now, Ms. Red, the same question. What can you do as state senator to end the Obama's administration's moratorium against new coal leases on BLM lands?
Well, I think that the moratorium on coal as well as fossil fuels in general is a thing that we'll be facing from here on out. And with the global warming and the other issues that we are facing, I think that we can just look. I mean, we can spend millions of dollars on lawsuits and do our best. I mean, you can, but I think it's a hurdle that I don't think
we will be able to step over or to get around. I think it's a good look at the future. This is where we're going to be. And so I think we're going to start looking at more wind power, more solar power, and I think that's just the way life is going to be in the future for us.
If I might, I would like to go out of line on this because I'd like to add something to this. You know,
you have the opportunity to.
What's that?
You have the opportunity to.
Could I go ahead and make another statement to this? You know, Utah's 50% owners of these the revenue that comes off these lands. $660 million gets sent back to Washington, D.C., which we get half of it. And the county of origin gets 30% of the half that we get. And for the for our federal government, as us being a partner, not to even come to us, and I've checked with DOGM, I've checked with all the natural resource departments in Utah, they have not mentioned one word of suspending these leases. Especially this three-year moratorium, and for them to have us as an equal partner, 50% of the revenue comes to us, and to tell us that we can't have our half of the money that comes off that, especially for our children and our school kids, the trust funds, is ridiculous. And so we have got to fight back. If we're a partner, then we should be treated like a partner, and our federal agencies are not doing that to us.
Ms. Red, I'll give you 30 seconds if you'd like to add anything else. Okay. Ms. Red, we'll start with you with this next question. Again, I want to remind everyone that these questions were emailed in over the last couple of weeks. With the city of Oakland and Governor Jerry Brown blocking the six-county coalition's bid to ship coal and other resources out of the Port of Oakland, how would you, as our state representative, get involved?
Well, I feel that the $53 million that we would be spending on jobs for Californians would better be spent right here improving job opportunities in Carbon, clear on down to San Juan. I don't know that where we're going to ship the coal. China has all the coal it wants, and I think we are just putting money in California's hands that would be better spent in Utah.
Mr. Hinkins, same question.
Okay. The $53 million we're talking about belongs to Carbon, Emery, Sanpete, and Sevier County. It doesn't belong to the state of Utah. It's our CIB money that we other people use to erect, to build rec centers. The original purpose for the CIB money was for infrastructure. We took and helped our counties, took money from the CIB, and we helped Sanpete County or Sevier County build a road up through from the Supco mine down to the Hunter Power Plant, down through Quitchinpah Canyon, and that money is what it's originally appropriated for, is to take that money that I talked about, the $660 million that goes to the federal government, and we get our portion back as counties, and that's our money to spend how we want. And if we can export coal and make money doing it, and if Oakland doesn't want our business, and the Sea of Cortez does, and if they don't, we can send coal out of Stockton or LAX. California might put a moratorium. If they don't want the business, that's up to them. But it's also not just for coal. There's other commodities that can not only be exported, but imported. We import a lot of things. We're a consumptive country. We are not a productive country like we used to be. And so the only way we're going to do is to build infrastructure. This money was designed for rail systems, for truck systems, to build our coal haul roads. And it got abused, and it's got turned into other things for community centers and stuff that we could use. But let me tell you what. The first thing that should happen is to be able to sell our commodities and to develop it. It's an investment. It's not wasting money. It's an investment. And we could sell that coal port would be worth a lot of money to our counties. And I think that it's been really blown out of proportion by the media. And I think that they've told a lot of lies about it.
Thank you for that. We're going to go over again with you, Senator Higgins, for this next question. It says, What do you intend to do to improve the economic situation in eastern Utah?
Well, I'm going to pray for cattle, higher cattle prices and higher coal prices and higher petroleum prices, I guess. You kind of hate to pray for higher gas, natural gas, because we all are consumers and we all heat our homes with it, but we all depend on it as jobs. We also depend on it as our kids' trust fund to make money off of the coal, gas, and oil. That's where that trust fund, that $2.2 billion is from revenue off of our natural resources, and that's what it's for. And so I would still try to do that. I don't know. There's just a lot of opportunities, but it don't seem like we've ever on the receiving end in our area. We're going to try and do cold and liquids. We'd try to get a lot of these jobs down here that's, you know, but they're really not high paying. We talked about tourism, but, you know, it doesn't pay that well, and it's very seasonal, especially, like she said, in San Juan County. I mean, they don't have the season like Moab does. I mean, it gets cold down in San Juan, and I don't know. Tourism is a great industry. It meant a lot to a southeastern Utah and Utah as a whole. I mean, the ski industry is huge, and I don't know. I don't think it's my job to create jobs, but I would do whatever I can to keep the state to not regulate people so they don't. That we're not, you know, entrepreneurs. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough business, and like I said, I'd love to see this flourish a little bit, but not a whole lot either. So.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. And Ms. read the same question. The question is, what do you intend to do to improve the economic situation in eastern Utah?
Well, as a legislator, I don't know. It's up to your local leaders, but being involved with your local leaders and communities to help spin ideas, to help bring companies in. The biggest thing I think we need is an educated populace so that companies or industries would be interested in coming in. And I agree with Senator Hinkins. We really value our communities the way they are, but we also want our children to be able to stay. We want jobs with security. And so that is going to involve bringing in outside businesses and figuring out what we can have in what our infrastructures in each of our communities would support and what the community would support. And the number one thing I think we have to do as citizens of all of our communities is support the existing businesses we have. Because if they're vibrant and doing well, then other companies and other businesses will be interested in coming in. But if we have failing businesses because we aren't supporting them, then other businesses aren't going to be interested either. So I think it's up to us as citizens in all of our communities to support our businesses and look at what we would like in the way of new businesses to come in.
Thank you both. We'll start with you for this next question, Ms. Redd. Bears Ears Monument, as it is proposed, it would take in 1.9 million acres of southeastern Utah. This has a lot of support from the Native Americans and the current administration. Are you for this or against it? Why? And how would you work for your stated outcome?
Not for the 1.9 million acres of Bears Ears Monument. I worked on the PLI for San Juan County to help come up with a plan that would help diversify the landscape without having this huge monument. Unfortunately, once the plan left San Juan County, it changed a great deal. But to me, this is where you can start saying, okay, I do not want 1.9 million. And why don't I want 1.9 million? Because that would force us, really, we already have five monuments and one national park. When the national park that borders my ranch came in, they took all of that property, came from part of the Dugout Ranch. And they expanded it three times, and taking some private property along with permit property. So to me, I can see that we have the most beautiful landscape and it needs taking care of. It needs tender care and love. And it is beautiful. And there's ways to do it. There's lots of tools to protecting land from national conservation areas. And if the Bears Ears proper was to be a monument and protected, but I don't see
1.9 million. How in the world, when we are having the trouble we're having funding our national park infrastructure, how are we then going to guard and protect 1.9 million and invite the world to come and see it? And then, as they come in droves, if we don't have the protection, we'll lose even more. So I think a modest monument on Cedar Mesa makes far more sense than 1.9 million.
Senator Hinkins, same question. Bears Ears Monument, as it is proposed, would take up 1.9 million acres in southeastern Utah. Are you for this, against it, or against it, and why, and how would you work for the stated outcome?
Well, I'm 1,000% against it. I think that they're talking about a little bit up there that's has been known for renowned hunting and stuff. It's like a lot of people know where Elk Ridge is at, and that's where it's really at, where we're talking. I mean, it's one of the greatest places to go hunting for deer and elk. And to protect, if they're really trying to protect it, they're not going to do it by making a monument and inviting the world to come there and tromp all over it. If they want to protect it, they should have kept their mouth shut and left it the way it was, because hardly anybody knew where it was at, other than the sportsmen and a few hunters and ranchers that make their living off of there. It's next to natural bridges. If they wanted to expand natural bridges and take it in, which would be, you know, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 more acres, but 1.9 million acres is ridiculous. And to go clear to Monticello and take that amount of ground in, it's a huge land grab. It's the worst thing since the monument down in Kane County. If it should be done, it should be by an act of Congress. It shouldn't be by a presidential pen, and just to get even with the West. And I serve as chairman of the Transfer of Public Lands, and this is one of the reasons that we're pushing for this, to give our states control of our lands, our own lands. And if they want to lock this land up like they're talking about, then they should compensate these counties of where they're at. If they're going to put 2 million acres, they should take it off the greenbelt. There shouldn't be a fill payment. These guys should be paying full bore on recreational property. So if they want to pay taxes to San Juan County in the state of Utah for 1.9 million acres, as if though it was development property, have at it. But they should be compensating our counties and our state for taking and tying all this land up and not paying a fair, equitable tax on it. And I probably have a time, yeah.
Thank you. I believe we do need to pause for another quick commercial break. When we return again, we will be with Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Redd. They're on KOAL 1039 FM, 750 AM, KOALI-TV, and also ETV 10. We'll pause for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with more Meet the Candidates.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at J&N Auto in Huntington. At J&N Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
News Talk, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, KOAL, with Kim Komando, Saturdays.
On the Kim Komando Show here on KOAL, I take your calls and give advice on today's digital lifestyle, from smartphones and tablets to online privacy and data hacks.
The Kim Komando Show, Saturday morning from 8 to 11, on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, KOAL.
It's Spirit Week at USU Eastern, and your Eagles are taking the field and court in soccer, volleyball, and rodeo this Friday and Saturday. Women's soccer will begin Friday at 2 p.m., and the men's squad will follow shortly after at 4:30. Both are free. Volleyball will begin at 7 p.m. on Friday, and tickets will be available at the door of the BDAC. And after 20 years, USU Eastern Rodeo will return Friday and Saturday at the fairgrounds. For more information, visit usueasternathletics.com. Come out and support our USU Eastern Eagles.
Serving Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 1039 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Price.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure eFiber or Xstream Internet from Emory Telcom today. Contact Emory Telcom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and video streaming live at KOLITV.com. Now back to your host, Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on KOL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and also at KOLITV.com and ETV 10. Remember, ETV 10 will be replaying this on Channel 6 tomorrow, and you can also view the archive video of this particular event at KOLITV.com. With us tonight, we have Utah State Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Redd. I am Jordan Buscarini, alongside Canyon Beecher, who is a debate Sterling Scholar here at Carbon High School. We are live at the Carbon High School Library. We're going to pick up right where we left off, and I believe the question will go to you, Senator Hinkins, to start this off. Again, these questions were emailed in over the last couple of weeks. The question says, does it really matter who holds the office as Utah State Senator when only 35% of what we know as Utah is actually controlled by Utah's elected officials?
You're right. The federal government, 66% of our land mass is controlled by our federal government, and they are not paying their fair share of taxes on it. This built payment of $1 million, and I'm glad you asked this question because this is Kane County statistics. 10% of the land is in public ownership, or private ownership, 10%, and they get $8 million a year tax cessation off of that 10% of their land. But the 90% that the federal government owns pays them just over $1 million. So how is it that 90% of the land gets $1 million, but yet 10% of the land generates $8 million. It's very unfair, and so we have got to figure out a way to tax the federal government. If they say, it belongs to all the world, it belongs to the whole United States. Well, that's fine and dandy, but pay your way. These little counties cannot even operate because of our Grand County, San Juan County, Carbon, Emery, Wayne County. We've got all this land, but, you know, and they want to tie it up where we can't even, you know, we've been able to live off the resources of it through grazing and timber and extraction industry of gas and oil and mining. But now they're restricting all that. So if they want to set it aside for future generations, fine, pay you the bill. And so this stuff should be taken off the green belt. They should be paying property as if it was industrial property, because most of it is. It could, you know, that could be used for that. So these counties were left in a hole. We can't even pay our bills because of the land that's owned by the federal government that's not paying their equitable share.
Thank you. Ms. Redd, the question, does it really matter who holds the office as Utah Senator when only 35% of what we know as Utah is actually controlled by Utah's elected officials?
Well, even though Utah is heavily populated with public lands, it's a benefit to us. As a rancher of 340,000 acres, if I owned that property, if I didn't have the leases from it from the government and had to pay the expense of it, it is a bargain to be able to graze on public lands. And, of course, it comes with a huge responsibility, too, because it is public lands, and it isn't mine. But I have been lucky enough to have the land at a good rate that I can afford to run cattle. And I also have to recognize that my neighbor who wants to ATV on it, my neighbor who wants to hunt, has every right to do it. There is, to me, public lands are a blessing. If we had to pay all the maintenance on all these public lands that the federal government pays, that every taxpayer in the United States puts money towards maintaining it. If it was left just to the state and our taxpayers to do all the work that the BLM, the Forest Service, does, it would be very, very financial. It would be a huge financial burden. So I have a view of public lands little bit different than Senator Hinkins. I think it's a blessing to us, and that we have a responsibility when we do use the public lands to treat it with all the reverence that we would if it's private land.
All right, thank you, Ms. Redd, for that. We're going to go again with you for this next question. It says, Why are you a member of the party that you are? What principles of your party's platform are most important to you?
Here, I was rolling my eyes. I'm a Democrat. I have been an independent up until this year. I feel that my party does look at the ordinary American, the ordinary citizen, with respect. I think no matter if you're black, you're Hispanic, you're white, you're treated with equal respect. I feel that the party is interested in helping those that aren't fortunate enough to have the income to help themselves. And that's a Utah value. That's not just a Democratic Party. We have always been a state that cares about people and gives a helping hand. And that I think, embodies the Democratic Party also.
Thank you, Ms. Redd. And now you, Senator Hinkins.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The Republican Party, I believe in their platform. I have signed a pledge that I would support their platform. And I am anti-abortion. I believe that people that have done heinous crimes, murdered people, should have a death penalty. And I don't know why an unborn child faces death penalties. But yet the same, you know, I've just, that's my morals. That I believe that all children have the right to live. I believe in small government. I believe that we have been represented, Senator Demetrich is a very good friend of mine, but we've been in this area, we've been the minority party, we've been represented that way, and if you're not in the majority party in Salt Lake City, we're already outnumbered. We've got, I think, 11 senators now that lives in Salt Lake County. There's, I think, 7 or 8 in Utah County and Davis County. I mean, we're very outnumbered. I represent 6 counties, Wasatch, Utah, Carbon, Emery, San Juan, and Grand. And by being a Republican, I serve as the chairman of many boards, appropriations chairman, public utilities chairman, and the party of power is the power to be. And that's just like the golden rule. And who that has a gold has the one that rules. And right now in Utah, if you're not a member of the majority party, you're going to be left out. And I think we have been for a long time. And I think that I've been able to do a lot of good to bring money and funds into our area, and I continue to hope to do so, especially with the seniority that I have now going into. And like Ms. Redd said, you know, sometimes it's time to move on, and I considered that. But I've also considered that I'm in a good position in the state of Utah to do good for my area.
Thank you, Senator. We'll start with you for this next question. Do you believe that oil and gas exploration and mining can be done in a way that doesn't hurt the environment? And if so, what steps do you think are necessary to be taken to protect the environment to allow further gas and oil exploration in eastern Utah? This question was asked by a Carbon High School student.
Well, it's a great question, and it's I have a great answer, yes. You know, compare the extraction industry to what it was many years ago. And just like in the uranium mines, we were left with, you know, the tailings in Moab that's costing $1 billion or whatever to get that relocated up to Crescent Junction. And a lot of these companies went broke. But nowadays, bonding has to be put up. And so there's bonds put up for the state can come in and take care of the environmental problems, if there are any. But most of the companies that are involved are very good companies, stewards of the land. They make a very small footprint. A lot of these oil wells now from one pad can drill like several 8 wells, horizontal drilling. And so it's really the impact is very minimal. Underground mines is a very small thing. If you want to talk about the thing that takes up a lot of square footage, look what solar and wind takes up per square mile for the amount of kilowatts or the megawatts that they put out. Their footprint is much, much larger. Windmills kill 600,000 birds a year, but yet if the Hunter Power Plant had one eagle or a something happened, they'd probably shut it down for a month to do a study. But yet, windmills, and it's just funny how they look at things different. You look at windmills playing iridescent white, but yet these oil wells out here, they spend millions of dollars just to go out there and get them to blend into the terrain so they aren't an eyesore to the people. But yet the windmill's no big deal. I just think it's a double standard for our country.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. Same question, Ms. Redd. Do you believe that oil and gas exploration and mining can be done in a way that doesn't hurt the environment? And what steps do you think are necessary to be taken to protect the environment?
I definitely feel that there are areas that are adequate and should be used for oil and gas. There are areas that should not be used. And making sure that the areas that we need to protect for visuals, for national parks, for enjoying hunting and whatever, I just don't feel that it should be open, that every piece of our landscape should be part of oil and gas exploration. I think there's definite areas that you can have energy zones, and I think energy zones are really a safe way to go and not to have it an oil well in sensitive areas. And that when we do try to put oil wells or whatever in sensitive areas, that's when we get an avalanche of people coming back and being angry. And so I think if we're very careful about where we place them, how we place them, and screen them, then I think there's definitely room in southeastern Utah for oil and gas exploration. It's just where we put them.
Thank you very much. We're going to go again with you, Ms. Redd, for this question. It says, do you consider the shift away from multiple use and sustained yield to a national monument, national park, wilderness-style management by BLM and Forest Service to be helpful or harmful to rural Utah's economy and lifestyle?
Well, I think there's a limit to how many acres of monument we can have and national parks. I don't think it serves an area to keep its natural beauty to have 1.9 million acres of monument. I've seen a national park on my doorstep. Before the national park came in, we had a dirt road coming to the ranch. We would never see people. Once the park was established, they paved the road, then people start coming in. So sometimes I feel that there's a misnomer about protection. When you develop an area for a national park and you're having thousands of people coming, I question the scenic beauty of looking at parking lots or having to have toilets every 5 miles. So I think there definitely is room for national parks. There's definitely room for monuments. But let's not scatter the landscape with them every mile. We need to pick out areas and then cordon them off and have them. But to have all these roads and all these facilities to take care of tourists and cars takes away from the natural beauty that we're trying to protect in the first place.
Thank you for that, Ms. Redd. And now, Senator Hinkins, same question.
I believe in multiple use of the land, and I don't believe that anybody's going to put an oil well everywhere there is, because oil is only where it is. And if there's oil and it's going to stick an oil well everywhere, like people say on TV, we'd be rich. State would be rich. We'd be like Saudi Arabia if we could put oil, just drilling up a well and there was oil there. Well, there's only certain places that's oil's even at. We need to utilize that and use the resources that are there. And it's very minimal in the state of Utah where there are oil wells. I think that you could have people that's explored the area testify to that. But I also believe that the state can manage the lands like our state parks. Our state parks are more welcoming than some of the national parks. The national parks are overcrowded. You can't even get in there. I've been to Moab when the line to get into Arches National Park goes clear to the Colorado River. I mean, they're overloved. And but we've got 42. We've done a poor job of probably advertising our state parks, but we've got great parks in Utah, and I don't think everything has to be federally owned. You know, we manage the SITLA, the state institutional trust land that has 10% of the area in Utah. They manage their land at a profit. For every dollar spent, they receive $11 back. For the federal government, for every dollar spent, we get back 77 cents. So we're actually going in the hole about 25 cents by being federally managed. And so I believe in multiple use. I believe that it's here for us, and I think we don't need to abuse it, but I think we should use it.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. And we're going to take our last commercial break. Again, this is Meet the Candidates 2016. We are with Utah State Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Redd. Also, our sponsors for tonight's event, J&N Auto and USU Eastern. We'll continue in just a moment here on KOAL, 1039 FM, 750 AM, KOALITV.com, and also ETV10.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure eFiber or Xstream Internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
News Talk KOAL. The Michael Medved Show is America's number one show on pop culture and politics.
Let me disagree with you. Do you think that handing someone a check is the best demonstration of compassion? Or is it a better demonstration of compassion to show someone respect and to try to clear away the obstacles in his path?
The Michael Medved Show. Weekdays from 5 to 7 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM. KOAL.
At J&N Auto, we aren't looking for a quick sale. We want lifelong customers. That means being a dealership you can trust. This is Jesse at J&N Auto. At J&N Auto, we won't cut corners to try to sell you a car you do not want. Your satisfaction is our number one priority. Quality you can rely on. Service you can trust. That's J&N Auto.
It's Spirit Week at USU Eastern, and your Eagles are taking the field and court in soccer, volleyball, and rodeo this Friday and Saturday. Women's soccer will begin Friday at 2 p.m. The men's squad will follow shortly after at 4:30. Both are free. Volleyball will begin at 7 p.m. on Friday, and tickets will be available at the door of the BDAC. And after 20 years, USU Eastern Rodeo will return Friday and Saturday at the fairgrounds. For more information, visit usueasternathletics.com. Come out and support our USU Eastern Eagles.
Serving Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Price.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and video streaming live at KOALITV.com. Now back to your host, Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOALITV.com. And also ETV10. Again, this is Meet the Candidates 2016, our final forum. It's been a lot of fun over the last month getting to know those who will be running this general election again on November 8th. And again, we have Senator David Hinkins and also his challenger Heidi Redd joining us right now. Sponsors for tonight's event, J&N Auto and USU Eastern. And we're going to continue on with the questions now. I believe, Senator Hinkins, we'll start with you out of this commercial break. Recreational vehicles such as four-wheelers, razors, and motorcycles are very popular in this area of the state. What do you think of the federal government's attempt to limit the ability of people to ride their four-wheelers where they want? This question comes in from a Carbon High School student.
Well, I don't believe they should ride them wherever they want. I don't believe that's the case at all. I mean, there are probably a few that abuse this, but most people, in fact, a lot of these trails are maintained by the recreational vehicle people. It's not the Forest Service, not the BLM. They do it in conjunction with them and under their recommendations. But all these trail systems are great. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people get injured on these four-wheelers when they take off at these designated trails and run off into different canyons and into washes that aren't designated. And it's a safety hazard. We do have a trail system, one of the best trail systems in the nation, especially, you know, along the Skyline Drive and the deserts and stuff. And, you know, we don't want to abuse the land. Nobody's wanting to do that. And I think that the recreational people, especially the organized ones, are doing a great job. It's a great tourist thing for Emory County. I know that a lot of them go out to the Devil's Racetrack and in Co-Wash, and it's beautiful. And it's the only way you're going to see this is if you close it off and make a wilderness and think you're going to hike it, you can't pack enough water to hike these canyons. This is a huge... People have no idea how large our areas are until you start walking and start packing a gallon of water, and you'll find out how large they are. And so it's great for people to see our beauty, and the way they can do it is with these ATVs. They're great. It's great for our economy. People love them. As you get older, like myself, you find out, you know, even riding horses is a long ways to go and come back in a day. And with these ATVs, you can zip around a lot of these, but just stay on the trails and do things right. Take, you know, clean up your garbage. Don't be throwing stuff out and littering. And I think it's just doing, you know, taking care of it as if it was your own property. I think that it would go a long ways.
Ms. Fred, same question for you. What do you think of the federal government's attempt to limit the ability of people riding their four-wheelers, razors, and motorcycles wherever they would like?
Well, I think since the ATVs were first unleashed on the land, we've made great strides. In the beginning, when there was no rules or regulations and it was a new advent, I think there was damage, and there definitely was there were problems. And I think every county now has an ATV organization that makes sure that the roads that they ride on are roads, that they really encourage and educate people about riding ATVs, staying on designated roads, not just taking off through the countryside and causing erosion. So I think we've made great strides, and I do believe there are definitely areas that ATVs are appropriate. I also feel that there's areas that there should be limited ATVs, so that people that do like to hike will be able to hike in a quiet atmosphere that they would like. So it's just the use. We all have needs and wishes for our public lands and the way we want to enjoy them. And if we're respectful of one another, have ATVs in areas where it's appropriate, have hiking in areas where it's appropriate, I think we can all get along. There's enough public lands out there if we all respect one another and the activities we want to do.
Thank you, Ms. Red. We're going to go with you again for this next question. It says, it seems that a majority of Utah citizens lack basic knowledge concerning electrical power production. What can you do to educate lawmakers about electrical power production?
Lawmakers in this past few years have been very much aware of electrical power issues, especially with what's going on in Carbon County and the coals. And we know that 40% of our energy in the United States comes from coal. We are not going to turn off the lights suddenly and get rid of coal tomorrow. It's going to take a long time. And I think most of our legislatures are very much aware of the situation with power, and that we do need to look into different avenues. And as we are looking into hydro, we are looking into solar, we're looking into turbines. So people are aware of the problem, and I think every Utahn should be considerate of the use of our power and recognize that that we will be changing from one source to another to save our environment.
Thank you, Ms. Red. And now to you, Senator Hinkins.
Well, thank you. And I've been very proactive in this for the last 8 years to educate our legislators. We brought them down here, open invitations to the mines and also to the power plants themselves. We've brought legislative tours into this area. We've also been making them aware. I mean, they've got power plants in their backyards as well, and that's part of their problem up there on this Wasatch Front. With the haze up there, they've got natural gas power plants, the Naughton plant there in downtown Salt Lake on North Temple, as well as the Vineyard plant in Orem area, as well as the Mona plant. And a lot of that's attributed to their pollution problem. They also have the power plant there at the Kennecott Copper, which they are able to burn coal during the summer months, but in the winter months they have to convert to natural gas. But, you know, out here we've got wide open spaces. We've got very clean coal-powered generation. This should be done here. And to help eliminate their pollution on the Wasatch Front, they really should be generating power in rural Utah, like IPP and over here in the Carbon Emery area. And also, they're going to find out, you know, we're in the nation with 40% coal-fired, but in Utah, it's more like 75 to 80% of our power is produced by coal generation. And so we need to just make them aware. They are aware. They know that we've got the lowest power rates in the nation in Utah, and we expect to keep it that way. We want to have our consumers to be able to spend their money on other things besides utility bills.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. We're going to start with you as we get down to the final couple of questions of this forum. Talking with local sheriffs, the JRI, or the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, has taken the pressure off of the state prison and shifted it onto the counties. How do you plan to help counties with the increased burden of overcrowded jails?
You know, that's one of the things that with this relocation of the prison in Salt Lake County, they are actually going to be pushing more and more into our rural areas. And, of course, San Juan County has one of the best, their jail system down there for the sexual predators and stuff. It's actually one of the very best programs in the state of Utah, if not the nation, to get people back into society and to get them over their addictions. We are trying to, well, one of the things, we passed a bill to be able to give the counties more money. I mean, it's costing the state twice as much money as they actually allot the counties to keep state prisoners in their system. And so we were able to bring it. It still isn't equalized, but we're still working on that to try to fund our rural counties so that they can, because we've got the manpower, we've got the training, we've got the facilities, but they don't pay enough to justify the cost. And so we're trying to make that right. And so that's the direction we're going, is try to fund the counties and give more money to that. So,
Ms. Red, same question. Would you like it repeated?
I know the jail in Monticello, I think they house around 80 prisoners, and it's right on Main Street. And I had no idea that there were that many prisoners right on Main Street in the jail until about a month ago. It is very innocuous. You don't even notice it. It's the courthouse. I mean, it's the you go to get your driver's license, a lot of things right in the very building. And so in some ways, I think we could, if they were funded properly, it could be another economic source for the communities. So I think that getting them funded properly is the key, so that they could be a benefit to the communities rather than a deficit.
All right. Thank you.
Can I add to that just one second? I know we're running out of time, but, you know, it's nice to have their families to be down here. And Gunnison's a prime example. I don't want to take up too much time, but to be able to have the prisoners relocated back to their county so that their families can come and visit them is a lot to them being able to get back into society. And I think we really should be pushing more towards this.
Would you like to say anything, Ms. Red? Okay. So, Ms. Red, we're going to start with you for this next question, and it is, what do you plan to do about the public versus federal land debate? Debates.
I'm assuming you're talking about the state getting public lands. I feel that the public lands should remain public lands, and I've stated before that for our state to pick up the tab that all Americans are paying taxes now that go into the public lands management, for our state to pick up that tab, I think would be hellacious. I think that this country enjoys public lands, and you can come to San Juan County and be on public lands. You know, Utah, in the very beginning of statehood, was given 6 million acres
of state lands. They've sold off 43% of those 6 million acres. And they continue to have sales on our state lands. And I'm worried that our public lands would be open eventually. As, you know, right now we're a solvent state, so, you know, probably wouldn't happen. But when we had a crunch, I can see it happening. So I feel that all Americans should enjoy these public lands, and I think that we would be really hard-pressed to maintain them financially.
Thank you, Ms. Redd. And now Senator Higgins.
Okay, first I'd like to clarify that our state lands that have been sold off are not state lands. They are state institutional trust land owned by the children of the state of Utah to educate them. And there was some sold off, but the late, and there still will be some sold off. But that is what it's for, is for education, to better educate our children. But as far as being state lands, I don't know that we've actually accumulated more state lands, which I'm not really in favor of, that we've actually taken out of private hands. A lot of these ranches and stuff have been turned over to our state, through DWR holds title to a lot of them. And so I think that's, you know, needs to be clarified. But we send $660 million a year to the federal government off of our extraction industry, off of federal lands, BLM and the Forest Service lands, which is managed by the BLM. We're supposed to get half of that back. We had been cut to 47%. But if we had that money, we'd done a study, we as a commission of public lands, we'd done a study, and it was an independent study by the universities, Utah State, BYU, and University of Utah. And we can pay for our own. If we got all of the money for the extraction industry, the $660 million, and it costs the state, the federal government, $278 million to manage these lands. That includes firefighting, which is their cause of neglect of the bark beetles, that we have not, that we've killed our timber industry by not being able to harvest the renewable resource of timber. And so we, as a state, could manage it for less than $278 million a year. I can assure you that.
Thank you. We've reached the end, so now comes the big question for both of you. Senator Hinkins, we're going to start with you. Why should you be reelected?
Well, I think that I've done a great job for our area. I've been able to, when you're outnumbered like we are, most of the senators are on the Wasatch Front, and you really have to ally yourself with a lot of the people up there, Democrats and Republicans, to help us get things into rural Utah, because our votes are very minimal. There's only about 5 rural senators in the state out of the 29 senators. And being in the majority party is very beneficial to be able to get their ear during the caucus times and to be on the chairman of the boards and to be able to, especially appropriations, and that's where I've stayed for the last 6 years as the chairman of appropriations for natural resources, so that we can keep money coming to the end, to our projects down here, keep money into ARDL, to do farm loans, to help our agricultural industry, to also oversee DOGM, the Department of Gas, Oil, and Mining, that we're doing permitting on the land, that they can be expedient about it, that they're not holding up. And another thing that I'd like to go back to is if this was in state control, we would not have a moratorium on leases on federal, on our state lands for coal extraction as well as gas and oil. We would be utilizing the resources we have and to pay our budget. And the United States may not be concerned about their $18 or $19 trillion deficit, but we're very concerned about our $13 billion budget in Utah, that we balance our books, and that we would do that with the extraction industry.
Thank you, Senator Hinkins. Ms. Redd, we'll end with you. Why should you be elected?
You know, I commend anyone that runs and serves for our state and for the people of our state. I feel strongly that there definitely is a time when your vigor, your contributions start to wane, that it becomes a job, and not just something that you love to do. I just feel that change is a good way to go, not to let people stay in the same jobs year after year and getting more enmeshed in the good old boy system. I think that there comes a time when you need new ideas, new blood, new vigor. And I'll give you that.
Okay, that brings us to the end. I would like to thank both of you for taking out the time to come down here to the school and answer questions from both students and members of the community. Again, I want to remind everyone that you can watch this at KOALITV.com. Also, Emory Telcom will be replaying this on Channel 6 tomorrow. So I also want to give a thank you to Canyon Beecher. He's a debate Sterling scholar here at Carbon High School. He is a senior, and he helped out with tonight's program. And also to our sponsors, JN Auto and USU Eastern. For Senator David Hinkins and his challenger, Heidi Redd, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Thank you for joining us, and have a fantastic evening. And remember to get out and vote on Election Day. That's November 8th.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates on KOAL 1039 FM and 750 AM. Regular scheduled programming, the Michael Medved Show, here on KOAL 1039 FM at 7:50 a.m.